Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog in the ant.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my worst of the worst. My throw him in jail and throw away the key. Mm. My boomerang throwing friend Frank. How are you today?
You had
three titles there.
I did.
Yeah.
I was very overwhelmed by that.
You should have been.
I was quite overwhelmed. I felt very, but I'm very honored that you have given me that many titles. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I'm going to kill you now, but,
no.
Well.
But who's going to close out the show?
Well.
Who are you going to talk to?
Mr. J.
The voice is in your head.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Yeah.
I see. Well, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a Harpoon Sweet Spot.
Tell me about it. That's new.
It's a new one. I've definitely never tried it before. I think it's new this summer. And it is a golden ale. They describe it as sweet meets complex. Or sorry, smooth meets complex. It's got just a little bit of sweetness and just the right amount of hop. It's a pretty easy drinking. I described it to you a minute ago as the kind of thing you could drink while you're playing lawn games.
Yeah. So. No, that's a great explanation. It's a great explanation. I've got Dogfish Head Festina Peach. Piace.
So good.
Puccione.
Yeah, just keep going with that. Just workshop that.
Yeah, I will. Yeah. Well, it's their job to workshop. It's not mine.
I didn't name the thing.
No, their beat's already out. Whatever.
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah, so good.
I've kept it in my fridge for like a month now, since the first time we tried it.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I was out with my brother not too long ago when we were looking for beer, and this was the first thing I thought of. And I was like, please God. Random store have this, and
else.
I haven't seen it. Yeah, I was a little disappointed. Yeah. I mean, there were a lot of they didn't have a great beer selection at the place we were at,
okay.
So it's okay.
Yeah, well, good beers all around. I'm happy with our choices.
Yeah, no, me too.
Did you see any movies recently?
Yes.
Yeah,
I saw Captain Fantastic,
mm-hmm.
which was fantastic. It was Viggo Mortensen, and he's like, I'm with my kids, and we're living in the wild,
yep.
And it was really good. I highly recommend it. Yep. And
awesome.
I saw Hunt for the Wilder People with Sam Neill, Taika Waititi's movie.
Right, right.
Which was also really good. I highly recommend that. And yeah, that's about it.
That's it. That's all you saw.
Nope, just kidding. I saw Suicide Squad.
Oh, I saw that too.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Crazy.
Yeah, so let's talk about Captain Fantastic.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
A movie I would hand a kid
that's
as
the one
a
with
joke
George Clooney.
If I wanted him to think it was.
Yeah.
No, that's Fantastic Fox.
That's where I was
right?
Going. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Fantastic Mr. Fox.
I was like, as soon as I said Fantastic, I was like, that's the animated
one with George Clooney and he's a fox and that's Captain Fantastic.
Yeah,
right?
That's exactly
or
it.
Or is that the one that Brie Larson's going to be in?
No, that's Captain Marvel.
She
is the captain now.
Oh, she's the captain.
Yeah. No, Captain, we're not going to talk about Captain Fantastic.
No, we're not.
No, I do recommend that people watch it.
All right,
it was
awesome.
It was really good.
Good. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, it was really good. I enjoyed it. If you want a tour de force performance by Viggo Mortensen and it's not a comedy. It's kind of billed as a comedy, but it's not. Kind of like Suicide Squad.
It's
kind of billed as a comedy.
So
it's not really.
What's your, now it's been a few days. We actually talked about this. We both saw it. Coincidentally, at the same time.
We did, in different places.
In different places.
And I've seen it twice since then.
Okay. So you've seen it three times total?
Yep.
Okay. I've only seen it the once, but I've done a whole lot of reading reviews and different,
pieces
and stuff. And I've done a lot of thinking about it. Being a few days removed from it now,
mm-hmm.
From the first time anyway,
yeah.
what you probably saw it last night, didn't you?
Yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
So I saw it on Thursday.
Yeah.
And then on Friday, my brother was like, hey, you want to go see it? And I wasn't going to tell him no, because we never, like, we never really hang out. So, like, when he asks you to do something, like, yeah, do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, but I had already previously had plans to see it a second time with another friend of mine. So that would, so that became my third one. And so I'm good for it right now, though. I would watch it again. That was, that's my,
what's your sort of rating? Like out of 10?
Out of 10?
Your scale of choice.
4 or 5,
whatever.
Out of 10, 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10.
Well, yeah, after
okay,
that, not my initial viewing of it, maybe wouldn't have been 8 out of 10.
It sounded like you were the first time. It sounded like I liked it more than you did.
Yeah, my initial review of the movie to people was it's just a movie, which I think sounds more negative than I mean it. I did to reinvest. What I meant by that is like it doesn't, you know, like there are a lot of movies that come out that are just movies. It doesn't mean they're bad.
No.
They're just not Citizen Kane's or Gone with the Winds or, you know, the Gladiators or the Spotlights of the world. They're just movies and they can be really enjoyable, but they don't change cinema forever. Right. You know what I mean? And that this is, to me, I still think one of those movies. It doesn't change and it doesn't change the genre. It doesn't necessarily add too much to it. But it was a lot of fun. Like the movie's fun. It has its problems, but it's a good time. Story's basic. And that's probably, I think the story is the weak point, but I think the cast is really strong.
Agreed.
There. It's well acted. A lot of one note characters are given depth because of the star power that they bring to it and the charisma. But it's, yeah, that's, so I'd give it an 8 out of 10 after 3 viewings. I like it a little bit more every time I watch it, because you go in with expectations
of course,
the same time.
Of course.
Right. You know, you expect something and, years we were talking about, you know, like we knew, like we thought like, oh, you know, if the Joker's in it, then, you know, maybe it's going to deal with the Robin suit in the cave.
Right.
And, you know, and it's going to do this.
All the speculation.
Right.
Theories. And
maybe Scott Eastwood is playing somebody important.
Sure.
Turns out he's not. Mm-hmm. You know, like all of these things you bring into the movie with you.
Right.
And so on the second and third viewings, I was able to watch it for what it actually was. Which was
interesting.
Yeah. So how about you?
I would probably give it a solid 7.
A solid 7.
A solid 7. So that's interesting, because when we first talked about it, you seemed to like it more than I did.
Yeah.
Or no, sorry. I seemed to like it more than you did.
I was
here
just
I am
with you.
And here I am rating it lower than you now. But I would give it a solid 7. And I mean that in like a good, it was a good three quarters.
There's
like,
nothing wrong with a 7 out of 10.
Yeah. I mean, like it was a
I mean, it's something you're going to put on the refrigerator, but
no,
still,
but
yeah.
But it's something that I really enjoyed, and I probably would see it again, actually. I thought it was fun. It was a fun movie. Like,
it's fun.
It's something I would watch, you know, the same. I mean, I think it was better than, say, Green Lantern, or certainly better than Fantastic Four.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All of the Fantastic Fours.
Yes. That oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, specifically last year's Fantastic
Four.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. I would agree with that.
But yeah, definitely better than the other ones, too.
Yeah.
It was a you know, better than average.
It's better than average
superhero.
Yeah,
film.
That's yeah.
Maybe not as I've been comparing it to Ant-Man.
Me, yeah.
I think actually you may have been.
I think I made that connection
been,
first.
Yeah.
Like to me, Ant-Man is also just a movie.
Yeah. I think Ant-Man might be a little better than this.
I don't know if the story is necessarily
is
any
yeah.
better. But I think Suicide Squad takes itself a little more seriously
Definitely
than Ant-Man
yes.
does. And for when a story is basic or weak, like not taking yourself seriously kind of, you know, like elevates the material.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Deadpool's a good example of that, because Deadpool
yes.
is a super basic story.
Very.
But it doesn't, I mean, it goes beyond not taking itself seriously. So like it elevates the material that way. Whereas this movie, you know, it's got humor, but it's still a serious world.
Still a serious thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. So there's been a lot of talk, especially in the last few days, about how the movie, David Ayer had his cut of the movie.
Right.
And then the group that came in and did the trailer that was Bohemian Rhapsody.
Right.
Did that trailer. Like
yeah.
They brought them into the trailer. And the response to that trailer was so strong.
Yeah.
And so positive that they came in and had that same group recut the movie.
Right.
More in that vein, that light.
Yeah.
You know, a little brighter, a little
I think that's a,
more comical. Did some reshoots.
Well, as much as David Ayer said those reshoots were for more action, I had that in mind when I was watching the movie. And I was like, No. There's no extra action in this movie.
I don't think so.
I think it, but, well, it's, a lot of those reshoots, I went back and watched the three original trailers.
Yeah.
Like the Comic-Con one and then the two other ones. That whole dinner sequence with Amanda Waller explaining that, Suicide Squad, yep. the Task Force X, completely different than mm-hmm. what was presented in the original film. So spoilers from here on out, because I want to talk about the final mm-hmm. credit scene mm-hmm. at the same time, the end credit scene.
Okay.
So,
sure.
So that scene, you know, like, you know, like, this is what I want to do, and, you know, and here's this book, and let me tally through all these different characters and blah blah blah. Totally different presentation than how it is in the trailer. They're in a different restaurant. Even
oh so that's totally like,
it's a reshot because the restaurant that she's in with Bruce Wayne in the mid credits scene mm-hmm. that's the restaurant they were in that's in the Comic-Con trailer.
Oh, okay,
but it's not even remotely close. She's in a different, like, in the movie she's seated at a table and there's like the whole restaurant open behind her mm. but in the original footage she's just at a table with a wall behind her, like okay. sitting exactly where she was for where Bruce Wayne
for Bruce.
Is yeah
okay.
So it's the dialogue's different. Her, how she can control them, like what she says is, it's like, it's all shifted. And so, cause the movie starts with an introduction to Deadshot and Harley, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes to Amanda Waller, who reintroduces those characters.
Mm-hmm.
So automatically you're at a, you know, this section
yep.
is new
yep.
compared to what you originally had in mind.
Sure.
Harley's first interaction with Amanda Waller, you know, like, are you the devil? It's a kind of a somber scene. She's arguably the most subdued in that sequence than she is anywhere else.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's like her accent isn't even there. Mm. It's like they went back into it and went, you need to add the accent.
Let's give you some coaching and,
yeah. I don't think she needed accent coaching because she had a Brooklyn accent in Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
I think she was trying to avoid sounding like that character. But without the accent, you lose a little bit of what Harley is. It's kind of like, you know, it's a huge part of the character. So, yeah. So there was quite a shift in stuff. Yeah. But, I thought the movie could have benefited, I think, from, you know, how Deadpool, a lot of the movie, the sequences on the bridge, like mm-hmm. there's a big action mm-hmm. sequence on the bridge, but it cuts up a lot of that
yes.
to go backward.
Mm-hmm.
This movie could have benefited from something like that, where they kind of like maybe start in the middle of midway and catch you up. Because there's a scene where like Harley looks down the flight of stairs, says, I really need to work on my cardio. And she looks down the flight of stairs and it flashes to her toxic bath
yep.
before she becomes
yep.
Harley Quinn. The movie could have benefited from things like that with all the characters kind of going back and like doing these things. Because when they get to Midway City and it's like all this, you know, all the stuff, I think it kind of, the place kind of just goes, mm-hmm. and now we're kind of mm-hmm. here for a while.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think that it did have some pacing issues. I went in to the movie a little bit biased based on what I had read from the first, you know, when the embargoes were lifted a few days before it was released. And so I read some of the reviews. I tried not to read too much of the spoilery stuff. I caught a little bit, but nothing really too serious.
Yeah.
But I read that the pacing was weird. The flashbacks were kind of gave people whiplash.
I didn't find that.
I didn't agree with that.
Yeah,
I didn't agree with that.
I did not agree with that.
That wasn't where I found the pacing to be odd. Where I found
nope.
the pacing to be odd was more in the grand scheme of the story.
Yeah, like
where we go from act one to act two to act three.
It's taking this amount of time mm-hmm. and where are they? And like stuff like that is,
was
weird pacing.
And then like, okay, now we're sitting in this bar for a little bit and we're going to hear about Diablo's story. And like,
yeah.
that was sort of like we screeched to a halt for that,
that part
of the movie. And then we kind of ramp back up, you know, into hyperdrive mm-hmm. after that. So that's where I found some of the pacing to be a little bit like, okay, why did we hit traffic?
Yeah, right. Yeah. The city's evacuated. Why is there traffic?
Yeah, exactly. I didn't agree with a lot of the criticisms that I saw about the flashbacks. I didn't think that they were confusing or they slowed things down too much. I really liked the little dossiers that came up every time we were introduced to the character.
Those were really cool.
Yeah. And felt very much like they were added on later.
Right. That's that felt like I'm telling you, because that's that whole sense. That's a reshoot. Yeah, that's a reshoot.
That's part of. I think that might be from when the. I can't remember the name of the company that did the Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
When they were brought in, I feel like that was something they may have added.
Yeah.
Be like, we need to like do something funny and like brighten it up here. So like, let's pause here and put these.
Not that the some of their introduction stories, like the Deadshot story, was not a reshoot because
it was probably like, there.
Deadshot jumping off the building was in the Comic-Con footage, which was before the reshoot.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
So there you go. So we know it was there. But yeah, so I'm sure all the origins were there,
mm-hmm.
but just the way they treated them, the way that they, stuff they did in post,
mm-hmm.
In the edit, definitely feels like that was, you know, something that maybe in response to Batman v Superman, maybe just in response to how well those trailers were received. But definitely something that was added later and for the better that made the film better in my opinion and more fun. It was fun action. Harley, I thought that Margot Robbie and Will Smith stole every scene they were in.
I agree. I think even Will Smith stole the scenes over Margot Robbie, actually.
And I did not expect that.
Yeah.
I expected her from what I saw in the trailer. I thought she stole the trailers. Like, I was more excited about her than anything else.
Yeah.
Maybe that's partly because I'm a heterosexual male, but really,
I am too, but I thought Will Smith stole everything.
Well, Will Smith stole the movie for me, though.
Yeah.
Like, I was most impressed. I heard Kevin Smith say this, and it really rung true for me. You don't expect Will Smith to be so good in a ensemble piece and be a good team player in an ensemble piece.
Yeah.
And yet he really, really was.
I don't think it has to do with him not being a good team player in an ensemble piece, but Will Smith has a lot of star power behind him.
That's what
him.
I mean, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you watch anything with him, he is just a delight of a human being.
Yeah.
You know, he just seems authentically nice person, despite how weird some of his children may be, and you know, like whatever. But in that family unit, I think he really reigns who's supreme.
Yeah. I've enjoyed pretty much everything I've seen him in, but I didn't. I guess I didn't see enough of him in the trailers to really form an opinion of what I thought he would be like.
Yeah.
So I was really, really happy with how it turned out.
To me, he was very much Floyd Lawton. He was
Deadshot. He really was.
Yeah. It was his own little twist on the character, but I watched the movie and I was like, that's what Deadshot would do. That's what he would say. That's how he would react to everybody. But let's break down the characters, I think, because there's a lot of them. So let's go through them. So there's Deadshot. And he kills people.
He does.
And he is, I don't need to explain characters, but you know what I mean. I really liked it. I actually bought the pop of him.
Oh, yeah.
Without the mask on, thinking, you know what? I've seen enough of the trailers to think, I think I'm going to like Will Smith in this movie a lot. And I think I want to like him without the mask, even though I hate it when people take off their masks in movies.
Didn't bother me that much in this movie.
First time I've ever not been bothered by that, because he has so much charisma.
Yeah.
That
I barely noticed it. There was that one point where he puts on the mask,
and like, it's almost like, oh, you're wearing your mask.
Which they made a point of being like, whenever I put on the mask, someone dies. Like, they made that a thing.
Yep.
So like, they almost justified him not wearing it. And then when he did put it on, and he and Harley exchanged a look.
Yep.
I was like, oh, he's putting on the mask. It made it more special.
Yes, I agree.
So I enjoyed that.
I agree. I really. There's definitely more to his story that got cut from the film, because he has like that, like, I am the light. I am the way the light, or I'm like the way.
Yeah, around his neck,
and it's on his gun, and none of that is touched on at all. And he tells the guy, who can't remember his name, he says, I'm going to rain on you like the Holy Ghost.
Oh, yeah.
And,
you know,
it's just going to be like a chapter in the Bible. And like, all this stuff is kind of like touched on, but nobody ever really, like, it's there. But I feel like that was some of those things that got cut, that left on the cutting room floor. We talked about Harley a little bit, but she did a great job.
Fantastic job. I love we got a little bit of peek at the
original costume. Yep. And as soon as I saw it, I went, that's great. Never show that to me again.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's
because, oh boy, does that not work on the big screen.
Does not work on the big screen, but they found a really good way to kind of work it in there.
Yep.
Quickly. Little fan service.
Yep. And for the most part, a lot of what I've seen a whole lot of people say is, thank you for showing me that. I really appreciate it.
Now put it away
because good Lord, does that not work on the screen?
It does not work.
No, it doesn't.
It looks like a onesie.
It does. And I knew there are ways of like doing that costume and I think making it work
probably
a little better.
Yeah.
But like that, it just like the classic Bruce Timm, Paul Dini.
Yeah.
It was really cool to see it. It does not work.
I'm good.
I'm fine.
I'm good.
Never show that to me again. Yeah. Thank you for making the Alex Ross painting come to life.
Exactly.
I'm fine with it now. Like,
that's it.
Yeah, she was great. Let's talk about the Joker since we're talking about Harley.
Yes.
Do you hear about that guy that's suing Warner Brothers because he drove, I quote, 300 miles from Scotland to London to watch this movie just for the Joker scenes that were advertised and not all of them were shown? And by that, by advertised, he means Joker punching the roof of his car.
Yeah, yeah.
And knocking his head up against the little door of his car, mm-hmm. and then slapping the guy's face and right. saying, "I can't wait to show you my toys." Mm-hmm. Those are the three things. And the grenade and like you. The bye bye. Yeah.
There's also I'm not going to kill you. I'm just going to
hurt you really, really bad. He says something akin similar, to that though. Yeah. And like that, but everything else was there.
Yep.
And that was shown in the trailers.
I did read that there's probably 10 to 12 minutes of Joker that were cut.
A lot of it apparently is just the Harley backstory stuff.
Okay.
And there's a couple of things I heard. One is that it detracted too much from the main plot of the movie. Like she got too much story. Like I think Margot Robbie said that like they got really into it and David Ayer shot a lot of stuff, but a lot of it was either experimented or didn't flow well or whatever. So I wish I would like to see it, but I don't necessarily need it as part of the film.
All right.
And then the next is their original cut of their relationship was more comic accurate, where he's an abusive boyfriend.
Yeah.
And she's still attached to him.
Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
The way they treated this relationship was different than I've seen.
I loved it.
So it was like, he
loves her.
Loves her.
Like his whole plot in this movie is
to save her.
I love my girlfriend and yeah. I'm going to save her,
yeah.
which is really horribly sick and romantic all at the same time.
Yeah. Like it was, I'm used to like in the animated series and stuff.
He would hit her. He would slap her around.
Doesn't care about her.
No.
Like he only cares about her when he needs her.
There's an episode of the animated series where she's like, enough of you, I don't care. And she goes and hangs out with Ivy.
Okay.
And then like he gets distraught because he realizes how much he needs her. That's the only real episode where like it works in reverse. But every other time is like,
it's always like him slapping her around, him like sending her out on,
right,
to do things.
There's like, an episode of the series where he's going to like unleash a nuclear bomb
yes,
on Gotham,
yes,
and she was gonna die.
He doesn't care.
No, he doesn't.
It's and collateral it's, damage. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
so this was a different take,
right? And so I guess a lot of that Joker footage was the not Joker in love
okay.
thing. So they kind of, I think, retooled it to give us a new version of it. And I really like, we've never seen the Joker in love before, really.
No, it's true.
Certainly on the screen, but really anywhere he tolerates her and he, like he likes the idea of Harley, I think, and he likes what she can do for him.
He likes having someone who adores him.
Yes,
but it doesn't have
it's
to be
not, that, and it doesn't mean that it's love either.
Right.
But like he
having someone who like serve him and
yeah,
you know, who's devoted to him in some way.
Yeah, but this was 100%. This was 100% Joker
yeah,
in love.
Yeah,
and people were down on some of this relationship, right? Because you know, like he tries to get like he says he gives her to Common, you know, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, she's yours now, but. I read that as like they're so in Joker and Harley are so in sync with one another. Like his intention was always to kill Common,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. and she knows that. And
he
so
was provoking him.
They play this game
yeah.
together. And I think it's easy to forget that these are not well people. Mm-hmm. Like you're not supposed mm-hmm. to emulate this relationship. You're not supposed to be, you know, like rooting for them really,
right.
you know. One of my friends who I saw it with, you know, when that scene comes and she's like, you're talking to Enchantress, she's like, I lost my pudding, but you can bring him back, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was like, I cried a little.
Oh.
He said that was probably the saddest thing I've ever seen. And it was really sad. She really sold it. Yeah.
She totally did.
Yeah.
She knocked it out of the park. There's so much I could talk about her and Will Smith for, you know, this whole episode.
Yeah, I think so too. So let's move on
yeah.
to the rest of the characters. Let's talk Captain Boomerang, who they did call Captain Boomerang, which I didn't think they were going to. I thought
yeah.
they were just going to have Captain on the shirt.
And just call him Boomerang.
And call him Boomerang, call it a day. But nope, full on Captain
Boomerang.
They
went for it.
Yeah.
And why not? You know, I mean, it worked.
Yeah. A lot of his stuff got left on the cutting room floor, apparently, too, because Captain Boomerang is kind of like sexist and racist and like all
yeah,
this stuff. And they
kind of
hard
sell.
Yeah, they cut a lot of that for when I think when the movie was going to be darker than the one that was released. That Comic-Con footage is dark.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not a happy movie. It's not a happy place to live.
No.
And then so this whole movie kind of got retooled with some bright colors and some not. And
did you see even just the logos from the trailers, how progressively brighter they got over the last year?
Yeah.
Have you seen like that back to like side by side comparison?
Yeah,
it was like black, mm-hmm. and the last one was like full on neon colors.
Even the beginning of this movie, it's tons of color. Mm-hmm. I saw you sent me that tweet where it's like, I just saw the third part of these movies: Batman Forever, Batman and Robin, Suicide Squad, and it's just aesthetically,
mm-hmm. it's a very similar aesthetic.
It's and now there's not neon in the movie.
No, not
per
really,
se,
except for those overlays with the dossiers,
right?
Except
exactly. That's the but I mean like in Schumacher's world, that neon was part of the landscape. It wasn't post, mm-hmm. but so I liked how they added it.
Yes,
in post it was fun. It's
agreed.
It's different.
Agreed. It was fun.
It's just part of the, like you said, it's part of the dossier. It's all good. I liked Jai Courtney. I don't think he's not a great actor.
I agree with you, but actually this is my favorite performance.
I really liked him in this movie. I think he was able to use his real accent, which I think usually helps actors a lot, you know, when they can speak like they normally speak. Mm-hmm. But I love that. It's like, I you were caught robbing a bank. I was not. Yeah.
It showed it like 5 minutes earlier.
Yeah. Was not. Yeah, I liked a lot of that. Well, you know, when he cuts and runs out of the bar, he's like, your flag's like, you're free to go. And he just runs. He's like, I'm out. Yeah. I like that he tricks Slipknot, the most useless DC character ever, into, you know, into cutting and running to make sure that bomb was real or not. Like, there's a lot of good stuff in there.
Yeah. I guess I wasn't surprised because Slipknot wasn't in a whole lot of the promotional footage or any of that. But.
Well, we all knew he was going to be the one to get his head blown off. Like, if you just know a little bit of you got to have somebody there for that. But he doesn't have a dossier.
Right.
If you notice,
I didn't notice that.
But. Everybody on the team gets something.
except
him. But then when they're in that meeting when Enchantress does the cool hand flip thing, which was super cool.
So cool.
He's got his picture on the wall with the rest of the team. And I was like, but you didn't have a thing. You're the dead man.
That's so funny. Mm-hmm. R.I.P. Slipknot.
Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah, whatever.
Apparently, Adam Beach is a very nice man, from what I've heard
and seen. I'm sure he is.
Yeah, useless character. that's what was needed.
But you know what? He served his purpose.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
To show us that the bombs were real.
The bombs were real.
Stakes were real.
I actually would have liked to have seen that at a different angle than we saw. Mm. It was kind of hidden. And so if you didn't know,
that was probably
ratings.
Was it PG-13 or R?
It was definitely PG-13.
Yeah, so if they had shown more of it, it probably would have gone R.
That's possible. Yeah good point. Katana.
Mm. Character I was not familiar with.
Okay.
Yeah. So the whole her husband's soul is in her sword. I was like, really?
Yeah, that's
really
the thing. Yeah.
But then I kind of bought it by the end. I was like, okay.
It's really sad when she talks to him . Karen Fukuhara's first movie.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
She was cool. She was a little underused, I felt.
I would agree with that. A little underused. Rick Flagg's kind of right-hand lady.
Yeah.
Underutilized a little bit. But that's okay. Maybe more to come. I really liked her little flashback sequence. Like, just like I was busy and just like jumping down the street, taking names with a sword.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that.
That is cool.
Speaking of Rick Flagg.
Rick Flagg.
Go ahead.
Kind of a meh performance.
See, that's so funny because I don't know what I was expecting.
Hmm.
Truly, don't know what I was expecting. But I really liked him in this movie. Okay. I don't know why.
I was kind of underwhelmed.
I liked his performance. He sold it for me. I thought he was the guy to keep them in line. Hmm. And
right.
I don't know what it is because Rick Flagg is a character that I could like usually care less about. It's not like, oh, Rick Flagg's going to be in this movie. I can't wait to watch it. You know, and no, but maybe because I wasn't expecting anything from it.
Yeah,
it, like, you know, he was kind of, he came out of nowhere for me.
To me, he was just very much like, if I didn't know that Rick Flagg is a major DC Comics character,
you would have thought he was made up.
I would have thought that it was just like, oh, this is just the character they have there to move things along. Like, he's a straight man.
Oh, yeah.
To all of their.
He is the straight man.
Comedic. Yeah.
Technically, to their.
But he was nothing special. He was nothing special.
I think, like, in terms of, like, cool character moments, he didn't have one.
He had none.
Yeah. I would agree with that. But I thought, as the straight man, like, he did a good job. And I really liked his back and forth with Deadshot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
because he has a little arc where he comes to this full understanding of maybe this was a good idea.
Yeah.
This is needed.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because by the, you know, he gets right up in their face right away. And then by the end of the movie, he's the one that tells the U.S. Marshals not to put Deadshot in cuffs.
Right.
You know, when his daughter's pregnant. You know, that's because beginning of the movie, he'd been like, nope, take him.
Take him away.
Yeah.
Drag him off.
There's a night. He has a really nice arc, and I like. That's supposed true. To be Tom Hardy.
Yes, I know. I know. Yeah.
I'd be curious to see how that would have gone down.
I know.
But I'm glad it's Joel Kinnaman, actually. I'm fine with that. His head is very small for the rest of his body. He has very large shoulders.
He has large,
very broad shoulders.
I liked him better on House of Cards.
Yes. Did you know that, I think it was General, I assume it's a General McClellan, McKinnon, whatever it is, you know, that guy sitting at the table?
The one that Enchantress goes over to and he's like, don't touch me.
Not that guy. The, what makes you think you can control him?
Oh,
that
okay,
guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He played Rick Flagg on Smallville.
Cool.
You're welcome. I almost texted that to you when I figured it out, and I saved it for the. I wanted to be the person. I wanted to see it in person. You got to look
Thank
it up.
You.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you for saving that for me.
You are very welcome.
I very much appreciate that.
Somebody likes Rick Flagg a little bit more now.
That's him?
Yeah. He had the orange shirt on and the.
I don't remember him being in this movie. I remember this guy. I don't remember him being in the movie, but I believe you.
Yeah, there's three of them at the. There's three guys, two guys and Amanda Waller at the table.
Yeah,
and one's in the suit, one's in the uniform, and then there's Amanda Waller and.
Yeah, I don't remember.
He's the one one that they're telling the dossier to, basically.
Yeah.
Huh. Cool, right?
Cool.
Yeah. Okay.
Very cool.
All right. Happy to help.
Thank you for that.
Let's get Killer Croc. Let's keep going.
Killer Croc. Didn't have much to do till the very end.
I would agree. I think Adewale had a really hard time talking with those teeth in his mouth.
Yep.
Like, so much so I maybe could have re-recorded it.
Oh, his stuff was all ADR.
Yeah.
Like, all his lines were ADR.
Yeah,
no doubt.
They had to have been.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the makeup was really cool. It was, like, gross even looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad that it was makeup and not CG.
Yeah, me too.
You know?
Because it was supposed to be King Shark originally.
Yeah, I know.
And David Ayer was like, yeah, I don't want to do CG.
Oh, was it?
It was David Ayer. He was like, I don't want to do CG. Let's do Croc. Yeah.
I kind of like that because I had read that it was because King Shark has been in Flash that they decided not to put him in the movies.
No, it was, yeah.
But I'm glad. I'm glad that that's the reason. I respect that more than just like, no, we're still TV not putting them in both shows.
No, David Ayer wanted to keep it CG at little CG as possible.
Good. Yeah.
So that
does jive with other things I've heard. So yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Nice. Did I run out of squad members? No, El Diablo. It was a nice story. He did a nice job. It's not a character I have really great affinity for. I was surprised that he died, though my friend turned to me and said he dies in the comics. And I was like, oh, well, didn't know that.
Didn't know that.
Okie dokie. But it was cool. He's fine. He did a nice job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was his, the pacing of his story is a little rough, right? Because it's like,
no, man, I'm not going to do anything.
I'm staying away. I'm staying away from everything. Don't leave me alone. I'm not going to do anything. And then all of a sudden, like, I'm a fire monster.
Yeah.
I can be 20 feet tall.
Well, there's a hint of it. Because when he's talking to Boomerang, he's like, no, man, I'm not that guy anymore. And he does a little hand wave, and you can see the monster in the flame.
I didn't see that. Mm-hmm. I just saw the word bye.
No, not that. That's when he's talking to Amanda Waller and Flag.
Oh, you're right.
Because Boomerang's like, woo, fire, woo. when he waves.
Now I remember what you're talking about.
When he waves his, I'm not that guy anymore. And he waves his hand, and that demon is right there. But that demon that possesses him is amongst the same family as Enchantress and Incubus, her brother.
That was not clear at all.
Yeah,
what it was. I mean, I just thought that was like what his power.
I didn't really get it until I saw the aesthetic, and I noticed that like they spoke the same language when he was the fire demon. I was, oh, it's all the same thing. It's really subtle, and that's why I enjoyed watching it on these redos, because that's not the thing. I didn't pick up on any of that the first time. We didn't really talk about Joker, his performance, really.
No. Well, for such a short period of time, you know, it was hard to really...
I don't think you can't rank him.
It was hard to judge his performance. I mean, it was a good performance, but like, it was so short that it's like, dude, you like sent rats to your castmates for that performance? Like, that amount of time you were in the movie?
He was on set for 6 months, so when he says there's scenes cut, there's a lot of stuff that's not there.
Okay.
Like that whole scene, you know, like in the trailer where like half his face is kind of charred and he's holding a grenade. He's like, bye bye. That's allegedly a whole confrontation with the squad that is not in the movie. Cause I think it would ruin his breaking into Belle Reve with Harley at the end. Like if she thinks he's dead,
it ruins
that surprise, which I would assume. So he was on set for a lot of the time with them. So I think there's a really good amount of stuff that's not.
So maybe more than the rumored 10 or 12 minutes.
10 or 12 minutes is still a good chunk of time.
It is, but it doesn't seem like, I don't know. I don't know.
Who's to say?
We'll probably see it as a DVD bonus feature or something
like that. I liked his performance. It grew on me as I watched more of it every time. Because he's the C plot, really, and he doesn't, it's hard to gauge what kind of Joker he is because, you know, he has no, like, there's no master plan. There's no evil anything. It's just like, I want to get Harley back.
Right.
So I'm in this helicopter now. You know what I mean? Like, so it's so very little. It's really not enough to judge.
It's hard to judge.
But I liked it. I want to see more of it.
Me too.
That I want to see more of it.
I'm excited to see it in a Batman movie. Waller.
She was great.
And
I knew she would be because it's Viola Davis.
Viola Davis was fantastic.
Yeah.
The character was evil.
She was evil.
She was evil.
That's gangsta.
Bad. Yeah. She was, she was everything that Amanda Waller should be.
Yep.
I didn't really feel that shooting those agents in the room was earned.
I don't think she was evil enough to that point for you to see it coming. Though she says,
they didn't have the clearance.
They didn't have the clearance. And that was that. But I don't. They don't have a reaction shot to them like seeing the squad and like putting it together before she kills them. Yeah. She just kills them.
Yeah.
And it feels almost out of the blue.
It does.
I thought that the first time I watched it too. I think it was missing like them going, oh my God, like this. And then she would need to kill them, I feel.
Yeah.
But I mean, forgetting that the Suicide Squad is really like, is highest level priority kind, mm-hmm, you know what mm-hmm, I mean? Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
I did enjoy when she comes out at the end after the big battle and Will Smith and Deadshot's like, how are you not
dead?
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
Yeah.
That's
so yeah. Good. And I was like, that's Amanda Waller for you.
That's her.
Her scene with Bruce Wayne at the end, I liked it. Maybe was a little redundant because Batman has those little files, those little emails that he has. You know?
Yeah.
A little redundant, but I liked that. Keeping up with the she knows who he is and he knows exactly what she's up to, and that's very comic.
You know what that's yes it was it very much was. You know what that struck me as, like, 5 years ago or 7 years ago before Iron Man, or 8 years, whatever it is, God, it's been so long, before Iron Man, that would have been the coolest freaking thing ever. Like, we would have flipped out, like, oh my God, did you say to the end, did you see Amanda Waller knows he's Batman, oh my god that would have been the Nick Fury coming in and saying I am Iron Man.
Basically a combination of that scene and the scene from Incredible Hulk with Tony Stark comes
yes.
in the bar. Yeah,
yes, that's exactly what I thought.
Yeah,
those two scenes.
Yeah,
exactly what I thought.
Exactly
before
what
before the MCU happened, this would have been the biggest freaking deal in the world.
Yeah.
And now it's
old hash,
and now it's fine, it's good, it's not, you know,
one would say almost unnecessary.
I wouldn't go that far. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good there.
Yeah.
And I've been sort of missing mid-credits or end-credits scenes from DC movies.
Yeah, I agree.
So I'm glad that they went for it.
I'm glad that they were just like, you know what? Everyone wants something.
Let's just do it. Man.
It's just a fun little thing.
Agreed.
I did kind of wish. I knew they would never do it, but because this scene doesn't really add anything to the thing, because, like, you know, she gives him the file on potential Justice League members, metahumans, whatever. But he already has information on those people already because of those Lex Luthor files. So it feels a little redundant. So I really would have loved just a redo shot of the scene from Justice League Unlimited where she's taking a shower and Batman hands her the towel through the thing.
Yeah,
she takes it and opens the thing and she's like, we need to talk. Yeah.
It's a good scene. I forgot about that.
I would have loved that. Just a reshot.
That would have been actually really.
It would have been awesome.
Yeah, that would have played really well.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah,
That's a good idea. Yeah. Speaking of Batman, he has a couple of little
things
to do.
Some good moments.
Arguably, much more Batman than he was in Batman v Superman.
Much, much more.
He was classic Batman. He kind of swoops down behind Deadshot, which was awesome. I loved it. That was my it reminded me of 89 Batman when he swoops down with the cape cape. Like kicks the gun at Napier's hand and stuff like that. I love that, but he's like, you know, I don't want to do this in front of your daughter.
Yeah,
stuff like that. That's and then instead of like punching him into submission, he takes out handcuffs and is like, I'm gonna leave you for the police. Right. And that's all the classic way Batman of the Batman v Superman. Joker and Harley would have gone over the water, oh, and he would have clapped his hands together and went, "Well, I'm going home.
I don't have to save you."
Right? Even Christian Bale's Batman would have been like, "Good riddance, good riddance." Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, probably thousands of people died in this movie because of Enchantress.
Yeah,
but at least you cannot even argue that any superheroes were in any way involved in anyone dying in this movie.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree.
In no way.
They were very heroic.
Batman's death count was zero in this movie for the first time in a long time.
And I mean, because he dives in to save Joker's gone. He dives in to save Harley, which is also very classic Batman. You know, like it's like he will always save Harley before he saves Joker.
Always.
It's like, well, this is a better idea.
Yeah.
And then, but I mean, like, she's not breathing. She's not pulse. She's not breathing. So he tries to resuscitate her and all. Like, that's being a hero, despite her being accomplice to the murder of Robin.
Correct, which we found out.
Yes, which is the little tag at the bottom.
So on her dossier, when it flashed, I saw something Robin, but it was gone before I could read it.
Me too, so fast.
Yeah. So I missed it. And it was, you know, if you missed it, it didn't matter, right?
Right.
But I saw the word Robin there, and I was like, what? She's related to Robin? What about Robin?
Right.
And then you saw it the second or third time, and you were like, it said accomplice. And I was like, oh, that's it. Yeah. Okay. Now I feel satisfied.
Accomplice to the murder of Robin. Very
that's
cool.
That's super interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then he still saved her.
Yep.
And then him punching her in the face was also
that super Batman. That was great. That was super Batman. I loved it. Did you know Margot Robbie learned how to hold her breath for five minutes for that scene?
Yeah.
That's nuts.
I know.
That's nuts. And
she says once you know how to do it, it's actually really easy.
She's like a super cool party trick. Yeah.
And her stunt double can do it for 5.5 minutes.
Yeah. She's like, I need another session.
She's like, no, you're fine.
Five minutes is fine.
Right. The whole scene's a minute and a half. You're good.
We get a look at Arkham Asylum in the DC Extended Universe, and it looks like Arkham Asylum. It looks very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, some things like that I don't think of, and I go, whoa, Arkham, that's fun. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And I mean, that means little to a lot, the majority of the movie audiences.
But to people who are, but you know, it's a comic book movie, and it draws a comic book audience, so I'm sure a lot of people got it.
Well, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Belle Reve, too, has a comic book connection.
It's in New Orleans. It's in the middle of nowhere. It has a landing strip, which I never thought about before. Yeah. That's cool.
You know, the first time I ever heard, I'd read Belle Reve in comics, but the first time I ever heard it talked about was on Smallville, and they pronounced it Belle Reve.
Yeah, I always thought it was Belle Reve, too.
I always say Belle Reve, but yeah. So it's just, but I've heard Belle Reve now a few different places, including this movie, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine. It's like one of those things, like, sometimes it's weird, though, because sometimes movies don't pronounce them correctly.
That's
right,
true.
Because it's not Ra's al Ghul, it's Ra's al Ghul. But the movie said Ra's, and it bothers me. Mm-hmm. But that's just how it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's not Bane, it's Bane, and nobody nobody gets it.
It's not Bane, it's Bane, like Beyonce. You know,
just one word, Bane. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of that fun. To round out the rest of the squad, there's also Enchantress, who's not a member of the squad. She's turns out to be the villain of the story.
Yeah.
I could have done without.
Pretty bad villain. I got to say, bad villain. Pretty poorly done. Pretty uninteresting.
Well, you know, at least you can say what you want about the DC movies, whether you like them or not. At least the villains are interesting.
Usually.
You know, Zod was really interesting.
It was interesting,
You know, and even if whether you liked Lex Luthor or not, at least it was interesting to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Enchantress was not. It was boring.
It was boring. I mean, I felt like I was watching, some, like, really boring, low-budget sci-fi movie. Not that it looked high-budget, but just the acting was just...
Cara Delevingne's a pretty good actress, too, so it kind of, like, her voice was weird.
It was over the top.
Her voice, you know, and then, like, her voice was weird.
And the Dothraki was weird.
No, with the, you know, like, they... her dialogue was corny, like, come out of the shadows, I won't bite, you know, like, so it's just like, you know what it is? The Suicide Squad, also, their mission was to save Amanda Waller, not to stop Enchantress. Like, there was literally no plan to stop her.
No, there, once and Waller was safe, they were like,
all right, let's get out of here. Yeah. Like, does anybody have a plan to stop her, or are you just going to let this happen? You know, just like, that was weird.
That was weird.
But Suicide Squad maybe works best when it's, like, a mythical threat felt weird. Like, comparatively to what they are. Yeah,
it should have been something a little more concrete. But this was, this was at least, I'm trying to look on the bright side, it was at least something where it was clearly, like, this mythical threat and not, like, you can't even try to argue that, like, a hero did anything wrong in this movie.
Not one hero did one thing wrong in this movie. And every character was the character. I didn't leave and think like nobody was true to their character in any way, shape, or form.
John Ostrander wrote a blog post.
The John F. Ostrander building.
The building. I noticed that. I know it was the first time. I was like, ah, that's fun. John Ostrander really enjoyed it.
I saw his post.
He really enjoyed it.
He said the movie's not without its faults.
Yeah.
But he said, it got what it was.
He got what it was, and he said, you know, I wrote these characters a long time ago, and was it just like what I wrote? Absolutely not. But neither were other comic book runs that came after mine. Like, it's not, you shouldn't be judging on like whether or not it was just like what you remember reading. Like, judge it on whether it was good or not, whether it was enjoyable or not, not whether it was the same as what you remember reading. Mm-hmm. Which I really thought was a very...
It was very nice.
Well-worded post, and I agreed with what he had to say.
Yeah. Well, the box office agrees with them, too.
It's the number one movie in America right now.
It made on Monday. $13 million on Monday, which is absurd for a Monday. Because I saw it on Monday at 11:30, because I'm still on vacation.
Yeah.
And the theater was packed. Like... There
Monday
was no
morning at 11:30.
11:30 in the morning.
Wow.
No, 11. Yeah, 11.
Whatever
it was, you couldn't get a seat. Like, we're lucky we bought the tickets the day before because it was sold out.
And that's after like it has like a 30 or 27 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Right. Exactly. But it's got like a 72-73% by the users, and I mean, like, critics don't always match to this. Critics look for material that elevates the genre, and if it doesn't elevate, they smash it to pieces. Mm-hmm. And
to be fair, in this case, there are a lot of people. Same thing happened with Ghostbusters. People who like DC are
giving it 5 stars.
Giving it 5 stars.
Yeah.
Just because they want it to do well. The same way with Ghostbusters, they were giving it 0 stars.
Oh, one of my best friends did that. I am well aware.
So bad.
Yeah.
Without seeing it. Just because they wanted it to fail. So they rated it 0 stars without ever having seen it. So the opposite's happening here.
Yeah. But you could.
And the same people are signing petitions. 22,000 people signed a petition to ban Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. Which is
stupid.
Which is dumb. Like, it's not Rotten Tomatoes' fault. They just assemble, they assemble the reviews.
Right.
But you also have to understand, like, people have to understand how those barometers work. And so if you read through a lot of those reviews, it's a lot of like, it was fine. It's a movie.
Yeah.
Here's three. It's like a 3 out of 5 star movie, or it's 2.5 out of 4 or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that lowers the score enough that it just looks like it's getting critically smashed.
You explained this to me last week. Mm-hmm. You're taking things that are, some of them rated on a 5 star scale, some rated on a 4 star scale, some have half stars, some don't.
Yeah.
You're taking all that and you're compressing it down to out of 100.
Right.
So you're like translating it from a multitude of different systems into one system. So it's a little flawed. It's going to always be a little flawed. It's maybe directionally accurate, but like, you know, it is definitely flawed. What it boils down to is read the reviews from critics that you know you tend to agree with.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And if they, you know, whatever they say, you know, take that with for what it's worth, and then make your own opinion.
Yeah, I will
see it and make your own opinion.
I will say I have one critic or one company. I Empire's reviews usually, Empire Magazine's reviews usually line up exactly within my taste realm. Like they're a good group of people who love all types of cinema, you know, and they understand all types. And so if it's the artsiest of art or it's the biggest blockbuster, and they're all kind of nerdy or geeky and they have their own things in it, I trust their review. Sure. They gave this movie 4 stars.
4 out of 5,
which is a recommendation, obviously.
That's high praise.
Really good. And they say, like, it's not a perfect movie, but it's fun, and that should earn the stars in of itself. If you don't leave angry, if you don't leave confused, if you don't feel like you wasted your money, that's a four star film.
Right there. Yeah,
right. Exactly. And so that was good. So if you're worried about critical reviews, but you like what Frank and I the way that we think, then check out Empire's reviews, because usually they're usually
very
right on
similar.
The money.
Yeah. They had a good interview with Margot Robbie, too.
Yes, they did. It was excellent.
On the podcast.
Yeah.
So check that out for sure. Any final thoughts? We should probably wrap this up soon.
Yeah, we've been talking for a while.
For a while, yeah.
I feel like we missed a member of the squad. Isn't that like...
I'm going to use a lookup here and take a look.
Yeah.
While I'm doing that, what else did you... Any other thoughts on any other plot points? Oh, you know what's fun, actually? I just remembered this. I wanted to mention it. The train station where the big final battle takes place in is modeled on old Penn Station.
I thought so.
The outside,
thank you.
The exterior was totally... I can show you side-by-side comparison if you want to see it. The outside was Penn Station, old Penn Station, to a T. Inside, not as much. But definitely very, very similar on the outside. Identical on the outside, pretty much.
That's cool.
Really, really cool. So if you're a New York person...
I was looking at it, I'm going, it doesn't look like Penn Station, but it has that same Roman Greco architecture, and I was like, maybe it's something similar to that. Oh, we didn't talk about the Flash cameo.
Yeah.
That was fun. That scene was directed by Zack Snyder, which was cool.
But
he and Boomerang were not in the same scene together.
The Boomerang stuff was directed by Ayer.
Yeah, that's right.
And then the Ezra Miller stuff was directed by
Snyder. They just put him in the magic of
that was
movies.
Neat. That was
really
neat.
Cool.
I didn't even know. It was seamless. I didn't even notice until they...
Yeah, I really... That was fun. It was cool to see him in movement, and it was nice. I liked that the Flash took out Boomerang, because Captain Boomerang is a Flash villain.
Yes, that was
so cool. That was a nice little thing. And, you know, even one word of dialogue, I was like, well, yeah, that's the Flash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah. You're still not my Grant Gustin, but know what? You don't have to be. That's okay.
Good.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think we missed any...
Fantastic. I really liked any. Griggs, the crappy Bell Rev guard.
Oh,
yeah. That's a loaf.
Ike Barinholtz.
Yeah. He was really fun.
He was really good. That was so different for him, because I'm used to him on Mindy Project.
Oh, yeah.
He's a completely different, doofy character on that show.
Yeah. He was real good. He was a lot of fun.
Totally.
Yeah. And he was a horrible person, but he was, you know, it was fun
but
to
he
watch.
Was fun to watch.
He was fun to watch. Yeah. He's got good, he has good screen charisma.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He and Will Smith were really good, like, had good swing chemistry.
Yeah, they had really good, some...
I would love, like, a buddy cop movie with the two of them.
Oh, my God, yeah, absolutely.
I would totally watch that.
I would watch that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I really like Will Smith, so, like, people are always down on Will Smith, but I'm like, he's a good actor, and he seems like a nice person. His interview with Fallon is so funny.
Oh, with the multiple entrances and everything.
I was talking, like, when he's talking about, like, seeing the Batmobile for the first time on set.
Oh,
and, like,
yes.
Oh, that's so funny. So funny.
Oh,
loved
so
it.
Good.
Anyway, so we got a message a little while back from the guys over at Hall of Geeks, which is a podcast that we checked out, which was, it was fun. It was good. It's very different, different than us. They do kind of a across the news kind of thing. And they don't care what they say or who they offend, which can be fun.
It's a good listen.
Yeah.
So thanks to those guys for writing to us and check them out.
Yeah.
Definitely worth a listen.
And so I think that about wraps it up. So you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and our website at Beer with Geeks. And you can email us at beerwithgeeks@gmail.com. You can rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Satchel, Google Play, and all the other podcast places.
Mm-hmm.
And
all the great apps.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and then so until next time, cheers.
Cheers.